From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. A Black Hawk helicopter airlifts more supplies to the most flooded areas of Vermont, where people are becoming increasingly desperate. It's been days since about a dozen communities were cut off when the rain and flood stemming from Hurricane Irene washed out roads and bridges. Vermont Public Radio's Peter Biello takes us to the town of Killington, which is serving as a hub for those areas most severely affected.
About half of the residents in the ski resort town of Killington are still without power and water. Extensive flooding ruined some roads, but major roads are still passable. Emergency workers were able to drop off food and supplies last night. Susie Dundas is with the town of Killington. She says a lot of supplies are being funneled through the town to other communities.
No one expected roads to wash away. But everyone is in pretty good spirits. We've had a pretty solid effort at getting information out to everyone. And I think the biggest concern people had is not knowing what's going on. And we're working to remedy that as fast as we can.
Vermont's congressional delegation is working with the federal government to obtain additional disaster relief. For NPR News, I'm Peter Biello in Colchester, Vermont.
In New Jersey, heavy flooding from last weekend's storms reported in areas along the Passaic River, which has crested. Governor Chris Christie says the areas he toured are in extraordinary despair. Christie warns the flooding is expected to continue through tomorrow. Authorities have ordered residents in Paterson to evacuate. The Connecticut River is also rising. As of yesterday, it was 23 feet above flood stage. Federal regulators are disclosing more problems found at coal mines that were once owned and operated by Massey Energy, the employer of the 29 mining workers who were killed in an underground explosion last year. NPR's Howard Berkus reports that two mines avoided a mine safety watch list by underreporting injuries and accidents.
If the two West Virginia coal mines had accurately reported accidents and injuries, they would have received more scrutiny by federal mine safety inspectors, and they would have faced immediate shutdown of mining operations when serious safety violations were found. The mines were owned and operated by Massey Energy, which also owned the mine where 29 workers were killed in an explosion last year. Mine safety regulators forced release of company injury and accident reports by appealing to an administrative law judge. One of the mines was cited earlier for what regulators called outrageous conduct and behavior. Both are now owned by Alpha Natural Resources, which has yet to comment. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
Negotiators for the NBA's pro basketball players and management are back at the bargaining table for only the second time since the league's lockout began. Both sides earlier said they wanted to hold multiple negotiations before the end of August. They remain far apart on labor issues, just as training camps prepare to open in October. At last check, the Dow was up 11 points at 11,570. This is NPR. The Obama administration is challenging AT&T's plans to acquire T-Mobile for $39 billion. Deputy Attorney General James Cole says if the deal goes through, it could severely undermine competition in the telecommunications industry and lead to higher prices.
Four nationwide providers account for more than 90% of the mobile wireless connections in America, and preserving competition among them is crucial.
If the deal falls through, AT&T may have to pay a breakup fee and benefits totaling about $6 billion. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights is urging both sides in the Libyan conflict to refrain from committing further human rights violations or acts of retaliation. From Geneva, Lisa Schlein reports the appeal is to both parties, even though Muammar Gaddafi loyalists are accused of carrying out most of the atrocities.
UN Human Rights spokesman Rupert Colville says there are unconfirmed reports of summary executions of pro-Gaddafi forces having been carried out by the rebels, but nothing on the scale of those committed by Gaddafi's men.
It's obviously a risk in these kind of circumstances, so for that reason we've publicly called for the National Transitional Council to, and other leaders, field commanders in particular, to ensure their fighters don't take retribution or revenge.
Colville says crimes committed by the warring factions must be investigated and prosecuted. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
By the way, a new concern is surfacing under Libya's rebel leadership. That's racism. Amnesty International says researchers have witnessed a maltreatment of black Africans in Tripoli in recent days. This is NPR.